Hey, we're in a series, and the series is called Hallmarks of a Healthy Church. And this is in the context of a church health survey that we've been doing. We've already taken the survey, and we got the results. We actually already discussed the results with the ministry leaders team, and we'll inform you about some of those things at a later moment. I thought it was more appropriate. It's nothing like completely shocking that we're in terrible shape and we need to take immediate action. But there are some things that came out of the survey that are really helping me and the team to take some steps forward in what we need to do in this church, and how we can move forward, how we can get healthier and get in a place where we can grow healthily as well. So we'll inform you about all of them later. But what we're doing is basically the measuring stick that the survey is using, the health survey is using, is 8 characteristics of a healthy church. And that comes out of a research that's been done in thousands of churches worldwide that are growing and healthy. And the goal of the research was what makes a church healthy. And these 8 characteristics came out of it. There's empowering leadership, gift-based ministry, passionate spirituality, the topic of last week. Frank did an excellent job speaking on that. Effective structures, inspiring worship services. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Holistic small groups, that's next week. Need-oriented evangelism and loving relationships. That's where we started it off a couple weeks ago, because it all starts with love. And without love, we might as well just close the doors to this church and call it a day. Because without love, we're building on nothing. And what we're going to discuss today is gift-based ministry. That's the topic of today. And my prayer is really that through this whole message series, as we're exploring all these 8 characteristics, that we'll really find the keys together to how we can continue to be or become a growing and healthy healthy church. And I want to start off the topic of gift-based ministry with this one question. Is, have you ever done something and you realized, I shouldn't be doing this? Yeah. Okay. So let's get the picture up of the snowboarding guy. I wish this was a picture of me, but I can tell you it's not. I once snowboarded. I went with my dad and my brother. We went to Snow World. It's one of those indoor skiing, snowboarding things. And, it's really, if you're used to going winter sporting, it's really nothing. It's boring. It's nothing for you. But for me, I had never done anything like that. So we went there, and my dad and my brother, they got the skis, because skiing is easier than snowboarding. But I, how would you say that? Stupid as I am, I said, no, I'll go for the snowboard, because snowboarding is so much more cool than skiing. And also, I skateboard. I skateboarded often in those days, and I thought, well, you know, if you can skateboard, you can snowboard. So that will be completely fine. So you get one of those things, and then you need to make it up the hill. There's these, you have to hold on to something and then kind of slide up with one foot. It took me 15 minutes to get up the little hill, because I fell down and I didn't know how to do that. And then finally I came up, and then you sort of, on your bum, you're sitting down, and then you have to attach your other foot and then stand up and then slide down. And when I started sliding, I realized I didn't know what I was doing, how one was supposed to be snowboarding down a hill. So all I could think of going on, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then when I finally reached the end of the hill, it's just fall as a matter of breaking. So that seemed like a failed try, but I thought, let's do this again. So another 15 minutes going up the hill with a slight thing. And if you've ever done this, you'll know what I'm talking about. If not, please don't ever do this. It was hard. And then I did the same thing again, almost hitting one or two people on my way down. I really didn't know what I was doing. And one of the stewards working there came up to me after that second time and said, please leave, because you're a danger to yourself and to others. Please hand in the snowboard again and go do something else. And I'm like, yeah, that seems like a good idea. So I got the skis, and skiing was a lot easier, luckily, than this. So I thought never again in my life will I do something like that, at least not without some instruction or without some lessons. So we shouldn't be doing what we're not made to do. And, you know, I believe that God created us all uniquely and wonderfully with a purpose in mind. He created us all uniquely, wonderfully, beautifully. And we all have different skills. Some of us do know how to snowboard. They can zigzag all the way down. They can even go beyond the assigned areas and into the wild ski. And so some of us can do that. Some of us can pick up an instrument like Lumi and just play it. And no need, nothing, any lessons, but just piano or guitar or bass guitar or drums or whatever, a flute, a trumpet, a saxophone, I don't know. Some people just pick it up and play it, and the rest of us goes, it took me years to become half as good, and how is this? Some of us know how Microsoft Excel works. It's really astounding to me. So God created us all uniquely and wonderfully, with a certain set of talents and abilities. And we must say some God didn't necessarily distribute them equally. So some are 5-talent people, and some are 3-talent people, and some are 1-talent people. But that's okay, you know. some people say that's not fair. And I would say, well, life's not fair, but at least everyone is a 10 in something. Everyone is a 10 in something. Everyone can excel at least in one thing, usually in multiple things. And what we'll discover today is when we walk in those talents and abilities that God gave us, when we start using them, these will point us to in the direction of God's plan for our lives. See, I grew up in a generation that probably heard about 100,000 times that God had an amazing plan for my life. That's one of those things in Christianity that came up over the last couple of decades, where we say it's true, it's absolutely true, but it's just something that's been emphasized a lot, where you hear often, you know, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. And I was always, yeah, great, great. What is it? Can someone tell me what it is? I don't know. And many in my generation grew up with this idea and with this sort of promise, but not always understanding what that actually meant. And some of us were waiting. I can imagine sitting on the chair and praying, God, show me your plan for my life. And I'll not move until you say I need to move. And I will not, you know, I'll just sit there and wait until a little note drops down from heaven saying go left or go right. And that's what I'll need to do, because that's God's plan for my life. You know, if you're struggling with this question, there's a couple of quick answers I want to give you, general answers. One is God's plan for your life will always find place in God's plan for this world, and that's to bring restoration to its original purpose. It's to bring the kingdom of heaven down on earth. So God's plan for your life will always take place in the context of His greater plan for this world, and it will always take place in the greater plan of God to reach the world, and that is the local church. So God's purpose for you, God's special plan for your life, will always have a link with the local church, His way of reaching the world. And then also, God's plan for your life is usually revealed to you on the go. You know, God cannot, one cannot steer, no, one can only move, I'm messing this up. All right. You can only steer a moving ship, or more appropriately to our context, you can only steer a moving bike. So you have to start pedaling in order to go somewhere, in order to steer somewhere, otherwise you're just doing nothing. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, for we are God's masterpiece. Sorry? There's different translations to the same verse. For we are God's masterpiece. He is the master designer. He is the master painter. And He created us wonderfully and beautifully and uniquely. He made us into a master. You may have come here not feeling like a masterpiece, but the work of God, the word of God says that you are his masterpiece, that you are his workmanship, that you are crafted by God into who you are and who you are today, and you are intended to be who you are, just the way you are. Now, for some of us, this may be, yep, I know that. For some of us, this may be, really. Let those words sink in. You are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the things he planned for us long ago. God has created us in a certain way to make a unique contribution to the body of Christ. You see this statement? We're going to expand on this statement bit by bit. I'll walk you through this. God created you uniquely to make a unique contribution to the body of Christ. So the church is compared to a body. Paul describes this beautifully in 1 Corinthians 12. We'll just read it. From verse 12, he says this, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles. Gentiles are non-Jews. Some are slaves and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. And we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, and not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? And if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. So you are created uniquely and beautifully with a purpose to make a unique contribution to the body of Christ. Verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is part of it. Each of you is part of it. So the body of Christ is a unique gathering of people. We're all different. We're all created differently and uniquely by the master designer. And together, in our diversity, we can form a unity. And when we do this, and when we all operate in the way that God has intended us, in line with how God has designed us and wired us, then we can function the way a body functions, which is very efficiently and effectively. But then, mind you, hands should not start operating as feet, nor should mouths demand that the rest is ear, nor should noses expect that everyone else has just as good a smell as they do. If we want to understand God's plan for our lives, we need to discover what part of the body of Christ we are. How did he create us? What did he create us for? What is his purpose with us? And when we discover more about the things that we are naturally good at, we'll discover more about what he created us for, what our unique contribution can be. And that's so important. This gift-based ministry is part of this characteristics of a healthy church. Because if we're not functioning the way God intended us to function, we'll feel unfulfilled, we'll be less efficient, we'll be less effective, so we'll just not function, right? So being part of being a healthy church, part of that is that all the body parts are in the right place, basically. So God has, so let's expand this sentence a little bit more. God has created us all uniquely to make a unique contribution to the body of Christ in line with how God has wired us. He created you as a hand or eye or a nose or an ear or whatever he created you as. He created you uniquely to bring a unique contribution to the church. Now when it comes to spiritual gifts, I've noticed throughout the years there's a little bit of confusion around the different passages on spiritual gifts. There's three main passages in the New Testament on spiritual gifts. There's 1 Corinthians 12, there's Romans 12, and there's Ephesians 4. And some read them and just see them as complementary to each other. And they throw them all in one pile and say, that's the biblical list of spiritual gifts. Choose one or do a test and discover which one is yours. Now, tests like that are actually pretty helpful. But these three lists are quite different from each other. There's differences, and they're not even subtle differences. So I want to look at all three lists a little bit with you and comment on it a little bit, how we should understand them. First is Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12. Here's what we find. We call them grace gifts. They're gifts that come from the grace of God through the Holy Spirit. And when we're in close connection with the Holy Spirit, these gifts are available to us. And most of these gifts are not even permanent. They're not gifts that you have and that you always have. Some of them are for a moment. So we'll discover them. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Pointed all the way back to where we started in the sermon series is love. They're not for ourselves. We don't receive any gifts to stand out so we can be admired and adored. No, we receive gifts to serve others and to help others. And to the one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. So this is one of those temporary things. Like people usually don't have the gift of words of knowledge, but they receive a gift of a word of knowledge for someone in a moment. Now, it can be that someone is more sensitive to the Holy Spirit speaking like that, so he'll have quite often a word of knowledge. But it kind of flows through. But it can also be just a moment. I can receive a word of knowledge about someone when I'm in close connection to the Holy Spirit. So the same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else the Spirit gives a gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. This gift of speaking in tongues, of speaking unknown languages, by the way, is available to all of us and is permanent. While another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. They all come from the same source, from the Holy Spirit, and He alone decides which gift each person should have. Now, we don't have time to go through all of these gifts and expand on them and explain all of them and all of that. We'll do that some other time when we do a sermon series on the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But you'll notice that some of these are not permanent, but they're temporary. So I can pray for someone that is sick and that person may be healed. That doesn't mean that I have the gift of healing. That means that the Holy Spirit has used me to pray for someone and has healed that person. So there's the Holy Spirit is giving a gift of healing in that moment. Now, it may be that God is using me more often to heal people. And then you could say, well, that person has a healing ministry. No person can possess the gift of healing and decide who gets healed and who doesn't. That's only the Holy Spirit that gives these gifts. Amen. So all of these gifts mentioned here, actually all of them are available to us when we work in close connection with the Holy Spirit. We just need to get more sensitive to how he's speaking and what he's doing, how he's moving, and how he wants to use us in that way. So all of these gifts are available to us when we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we work in close connection with him. For example, when you go to the prayer team, it may be that someone gets a word of wisdom for you. You come with a situation, you say, I don't know what to do. And that person may just receive a word of wisdom from the Holy Spirit, give it to you, and that may be the solution to your problem. Could be. These things happen today, and they're supernatural gifts. And We receive them when we work in close connection to the Holy Spirit. In Vineyard, we believe that all of these gifts are available to all of us and that everyone gets to play. It's one of those sentences, one of those values that comes back wherever you go, in whatever Vineyard church, you say, everyone gets to play. Ministry is not reserved only for people in leadership, not only for people in pastoral leadership, but it's for all of us. My prayer is worth just as much in the sense as your prayer. So when you need prayer, you can go to your small group, to your home group leader for prayer. You can go to a good friend for prayer. You can go to the prayer team for prayer. It never hangs on one person or one person with a certain authority or leadership. We do recognize God using certain people more often in a certain way, but it's never reserved just for one person. And that's what I like about Vineyards. We always, John Wimber, the one who's the original leader of the Vineyard movement, God used him to heal many, many people. But what he usually did is when he preached and he invited the Holy Spirit to move and people would come forth for prayer. And after a couple minutes, he would just go out and drink coffee and have the team pray for the people. Because he never wanted people to look at to him for healing, but only to God, only to the Holy Spirit for healing. And that's what I really like that about the Vineyard. It's always the Holy Spirit that does it. All right, moving on. Taking way too long on everything, and then we'll end up with a 45-minute sermon. I want to go for 30-minute sermons. Just so you know, if you're new here, my aim is always 30 minutes. Just, you know, I'm... my theory is that your attention span is as many minutes as your age. So, yeah? So the attention span of my daughter is about a minute and a half, but some of you may have an attention span of about 70 minutes. So I could go on for 70 minutes. You go, yeah. So into the experience. But I think the average age of our church is about 30, so I'll just hit 30 minutes. And then, right. It's a theory. It's not a proven theory. It's not a scientific theory. Sorry for all of you scientists here. This is just theory. Yeah? Okay. But, you know, just work with it a little bit. You know, someone made it choose this as his thesis paper topic. It's very eager to hear the results. All right. So, I hope it... It just took a minute out of 29 minutes. Okay. Secondly, so that's the first list of spiritual gifts that 1 Corinthians 12 available to all of us. Secondly, ministries. This is a completely different list. It's in Ephesians 4 where it says, now these are the gifts Christ gives to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. These are people. People that Christ gives as a gift to the church, and why their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So these are people that God is giving to the church to build up the church. So he gives evangelists not only to reach people and evangelize them and bring them back to God, but also to help people to evangelize and train them up to evangelize. He's giving teachers not to be leaned upon by everyone as you're the teacher, you're showing me the way, I don't have to read the Bible, I'll just listen to your podcast. No, a teacher's job is to teach you to read the Bible for yourself and understand it better and help others to grow. So that's always, their job is never to stand in the spotlight or to, you know, come into church and say, where's the apostles' toilet? I feel special. I actually heard this. This happened. Where's the apostles' toilet? Where's the prophet's green room? No. All of these people are serving the body of Christ with their ministry. And the ministry is usually discovered over time and recognized over time. You don't just say, like, I have the gift of I'm a prophet, and this is the position I should have in the church. No, this should also be recognized by people, and the people that this passage is talking about have a ministry that's recognized over time. Thirdly, and this is actually the list that will help us mostly to discover how did God create us, how did He wire us, And how does he want to use us in the church? So the first list is special moments, is supernatural moments, in the way God is using all of us to serve each other, like in a sense of prayer and like healing and words of wisdom and all of those things. Second one is ministry, so that's it's on a much more general scale. And the third one really applies to all of us and helps us to discover how does God want to use us? And that we find in Romans 12. And this is not a complete list. This is just a sample list, I'm convinced, that Paul is giving, just to that we can understand how God is using us all differently. In his grace, Romans 12 verse 6, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So you could actually understand this whole list as natural abilities, natural talents, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. So in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Do it gladly. So and this is not a complete list. I think there's a lot more gifts, you could say, that God is giving to the church and certain responsibilities or tasks that God is giving us in the church. It may be to make sure that the kids have a fantastic program each Sunday and that they're growing in their relationship with God, and maybe to open your home and invite people in and help them to read the Bible and pray for each other and all of those things. It may be to stand at the door here and welcome people in and say, "Wow, you are welcome at church," and with enthusiasm. It may be your ministry, maybe one of serving in cleaning up and making sure that everything is put in order, ready to receive people. There's all these different gifts, all these different body parts here in this church that together form the body of Christ. And they're in line, usually, with your natural talents. So some of these things you may be good at, whether you're a Christian or not. You know, there's people that are not Christians, believe it or not, that are hospitable, or that have great leadership abilities and capacity. People that are great teachers, but it's only when they convert and when they surrender all the things that they're good at back to God, that's when the Holy Spirit can empower them, excel them to another level, and in that way they can serve the body of Christ that which God has blessed them with. And that's what we are called to do, all of us. God has created all of us uniquely to make a unique contribution to the body of Christ in line with the way God has wired you, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're not doing this in our own strength. We're not relying on our own talents only, but we're relying on the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We do this in His strength. My purpose today is to help you to find your sweet spot. It's a term I've come to use over the years. I like it because alliteration always works. but it's your sweet spot. Your sweet spot is that place where you're serving that's completely in line with how God has created you. And therefore, when you serve in that place, you'll find fulfillment. See, the hand finds fulfillment because it's attached to the arm and can function in this way. It's supposed to be functioning. So when you are in the church, in the right place, in the place that God intended you to be, you will also find fulfillment. You'll feel like, this is exactly what I've been created for. You know, if you're thinking of an illustration, can't think of one. you'll find fulfillment. You'll be like, this is a fit. This is exactly right. This jacket is made just for me. You know, I've never worn a measured suit or anything, but it's supposed to be awesome. So it's like, yeah, this is exactly for me. This is the right fit. This is exactly for me. And I believe that God has a place like that for all of you. And if you're not finding fulfillment in the place where you're serving at this moment, it's probably because it's not the right place. It's probably because it's not the right place. Now, don't panic. Don't drop all the responsibilities that you're carrying right now. Don't make the pastor sweat like that in the first 3 months. thank you. But it may be pointing you into a different direction when you think of it. When you think that, what are the things that God has prepared for me? What in what capacity can I serve? What are the things that where I find fulfillment? What I'm naturally leaning towards? That may be the area where I need to be serving, and not in the area of need. See, many churches fall into the trap or the habit of just recruiting need. So there's a big need here. Can someone please help? Can someone please help? And then someone steps in to help because we're all, you know, we feel responsible, we feel connected and committed, and we want this to work. And it may not be the area where we excel in, but you know there's a need, so we step into the need. But then you end up with a task that is not for you, and that you don't find fulfillment in, and you're serving out of a sense of obligation and not out of a sense of joy and fulfillment, and it becomes a job. And really, serving in church is not supposed to feel like a job. It's supposed to feel like, you know, something that's fulfilling, something that you do with joy. So we must move to a way of recruiting people for the thing, because there's still a lot of things that need to be done, of course. But I would like to always never recruit out of need, but always out of vision. And always start with where you are at. Like, who are you? What would you like to do? What are you naturally good at? What are you leaning towards? What is God stirring up in your heart? And then see, okay, well, we may have a place like that in our church to serve in. And you may just love that. And you may excel in this. And in that way, you become a gift-based ministry type of church where everyone is functioning in the place that God has assigned to them. So I want to give you 3 take-homes to help you to find your sweet spot, if you're not already in your sweet spot. Let's look back. Quickly rewind. Ephesians 2, verse 10. We are all God's masterpiece. So God created us all uniquely. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that He has planned for us long ago. I'm sorry, I need to move back one slide to the full statement of the summary of today. I'm sorry I'm a bit messy. I'm a little bit tired, so you'll forgive me. I'll do better next week. God has created you uniquely to make a unique contribution to the body of Christ in line with how God has wired you, empowered by the Holy Spirit, in an area where you will find fulfillment. How do you discover this? 3 steps. 1, what is your experience telling you? What is your experience telling you? What were moments in your past where you were even surprised of how fulfilling and how happy you were, how fulfilling it was? And it may be something simple, like you had people over for dinner, and you made a dinner, you served it, and you felt like, this is fantastic. I love doing this. Why don't I do this more often? Like something like that. It may be something simple like that that can point you to a gift of hospitality. It may be something very, very simple like that. Or your experience may also be that you grew up in a church where there was a lot of worship. There was a great worship team, and there was a great worship team recruitment, and you learned to play instruments, you learned to love worship, and this may be, now that you're in a different place, your unique contribution to this church is things you've experienced in the past, how you can use them in a different place. That may be your experience of how God prepared you for something. You know, God called the Apostle Paul for good reason. Paul was exactly the right fit for the ministry that God assigned to him, because he was educated, he spoke 5 different languages, he was a Roman citizen, which got him into places no one else could, he knew his way around, so stuff like that. He prepared this ministry for this one person for a good reason. He had prepared it for him even before he became a Christian. These are positive examples. There may also be negative examples experienced in your past. For example, you may have walked through a difficult time and you've got to understand more of God's grace in that time. This may point you into how you may help other people that are walking through a similar experience. You may share with them what you've learned and encourage them because you know the words that are encouraging. Another example of that is you may have sat in church, maybe this one, maybe another one, and you felt uncomfortable about something. Like, something's missing. Something's, like, we do this, we do great things, but something is missing. I'm uncomfortable with that. We should do better in this area. Now, some may have this feeling and start complaining, but some may think, this may be my unique contribution. If God is stirring that up in me, this sort of something's missing, something's not right, that may be God calling you into something. You know, when you've got a vision, you've got a mission. So that may be something like that. Secondly, what will help you to find your sweet spot is what are other people telling you? If God has gifted you in a certain way, this will always be recognized by your brothers and sisters around you. Therefore, listen well to how people compliment you and what they compliment you on. If you're still wondering what your unique contribution to the church is, listen well to how people compliment you. What are they saying? This may point you in the direction of what God has created you for and what your unique contribution may be. Also, you may be absolutely convinced that you have a certain ministry, but if no one recognizes this, you must have heard very, very clearly from the Lord. Otherwise, we won't recognize it. It's also how it works. The reverse is always true as well. A certain gift or calling that you've received must be recognized by the people around you as well. Don't worry. God has got something for you. I believe that. And lastly, what is God telling you? What is God telling you? You know, what makes your heart beat faster? When we talk about a certain thing in church or a certain area of ministry, what makes your heart beat faster? What is God stirring up in you? Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and He might direct you to the place where you may have a unique and fulfilling contribution. The question I sometimes ask people is, if money, time, and ability were not limiting factors, what would you be doing? You know, if there were no limitations, what dream would you be chasing? Now, this may be the dream that you should also be chasing, even when money and ability and time are limiting factors, but it's at least a dream that's worth chasing. I believe that everything God is calling us to do in the future, He is already preparing in our hearts right now. And I want to invite the team, the worship team, back up. I hope I kept it within 30 minutes. I think I didn't. Sorry for that. Sorry, especially for the 20-somethings that with their attention span that it go very long. But I want to pray for a moment, and I want to pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal to us a little bit more of what He has created us for, and what He's leading us towards. Because that last point really is the most important point: is what is God telling you? How is God? What is God stirring up in you? I want to take a moment to pray for this, and be silent for a moment, and listen to Him, and receive from Him. Maybe that one moment you've been waiting for some clear direction on what He's really created you for. So, Lord, we just want to sit and listen for a moment to You. Holy Spirit, we invite You to speak. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us, reveal to us what are the things that You have prepared for us, what are the good works that